God's word today. We will turn to John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, and also Hebrews. John chapter 1. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Once again, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And then we will turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father," or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? God is the one who has the holy name. God is the one who has the holy name. God is the one who has the holy name. In Ezekiel chapter 36, 23, it mentions that God is the one who has the holy name, that he will show the holiness of my great name. In other religions, they don't even know the name of their gods, and some say they can't call on the name of God. So they may say highest being. But the God we believe in is the God who has the holy name. He is the one who reveals the holiness of his name. And to those who have regarded his name as holy and revered it as holy, he guides them along the right paths, in the paths of righteousness, as described in Psalm chapter 23. So our faith is knowing the name of God. Knowing the name of God, do you know? Say amen if you know the name of God. And furthermore, it is my soul receiving the name of God and becoming children of God. So knowing this is what faith is. Our faith life, it is inheriting the most beautiful name, the name of God, and revealing his holy name in our lives. So this is what the life of faith is, to reveal his holy name. So his name is different from all others. Holy means to be set apart. And our faith life is revealing that his name is different and set apart from all other names. So today's message is my soul and the name of Yeshua. I have spoken about the name of Yeshua many times. So the word that God desires to give to our spirits is the name that he wants to engrave in our souls, and that is Yeshua's name. So every creature, every creation has a name, whether animals or plants or to the tiniest of minerals or even stars, they all have names. Even the bacteria and organisms that are invisible to the eye, they all have names. So there is no material matter that is without a name. And continuously, names are being created because mankind is discovering new things and giving names to such discoveries. And God created all these different countless creations, each according to its kind. And to this day, we are giving names to them. Even people give names to gods and idols, and they worship these idols. And how ironic is that? The God they want to serve and worship, they give names to, and they even give their lives to those gods they create. The name is not the exact being, the substance, but it's a type of representation, and it identifies who that being is. So we acknowledge that they are one. The being and the name are inseparable. So we regard the name as the person or identity, like a descriptor in the relationship between people. And even if we may not see each other in person, we accept signatures of a person's name. These days, there are so many different names, alias or nickname, middle name. But in the big picture, there is the first name and the last name, the surname. So if we see Seung-gi Kang, Kang is the surname that was inherited. And the first name is the name that was given. So the surname does not change. The surname of our parents and our ancestors are the same, but our personal names are different and may change. So if they say the Lee clan, or that is the surname that has been inherited, Lee, and if we say the name of God, it is the everlasting name. And so to understand this, we can think of it as the surname that continues on, that is passed down from generation to generation. But the personal name, once the person passes, it ends. So God created man, and to each creation, it was given a name. But when God made man a living being, there's a reason he made him so. The living being, the living spirit, is a spiritual being. So the man, meaning that the man has the flesh, but also the spirit. So the flesh inherits the surname from the parents. On the other hand, our spirit is the reason why God made man to become a living being, a spiritual being. And it was to place the name of God, a dwelling place. And that is why God made man a living being. So the reason God created man and made him a living being, a spiritual being, is so that into that spiritual being, God wanted to give his name. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 5, which is, he built the temple to place the ark, is the place where God made for the ark to dwell. So like God made a place for his name, for the ark to dwell, God created in us a spiritual dwelling place for his name. And that is why he made us a living being. So into our spirit, he created a place for his name. However, our ancestor Adam sinned. Due to the temptation and deception of Satan, Eve, his wife, ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as the devil lied to her, saying that she will not surely die and that she will be like God. And Adam also sinned, and sin equals uncleanliness. Because Adam sinned, he became unclean and became an unclean dwelling place in him. So God could no longer leave his name in their spirits, and he drove them out of the Garden of Eden, and mankind was destined to go to hell, Gehenna, which is the garbage incinerator where unclean garbage would be burnt up. So this was their fate with the devil, where they would burn for eternity. So God revealed his name, and when he officially revealed his name was when he was Jehovah, and that was when he called Moses to him. And so the name Jehovah is the first name Moses heard, and his name means the self-existing God. I am who I am in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. So Moses was called, and he was commanded. And here Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then What shall I tell them? So Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So for the very first time, God revealed his name to Moses. So Jehovah is the name that is self-existing and to be remembered from generation to generation. So his name is to be remembered and called from generation to generation. And let us remember this, for we must know the difference between generation to generation and eternally. So generation to generation refers to humans, and eternal and forever is referring to God. But we see that this can change, as we will find out. So to the Israelites who were slaves of Egypt, he told Moses to bring his people out. What God promised to them was the promised land for to their ancestors, that they would be led to the land that Jehovah promised to his ancestors, to Abraham. So in Genesis chapter 17, God had promised that he would become his God and would give the promised land to him as an inheritance. Give the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, as an inheritance. So from Abraham to the descendants of Israel, they believe that God is the God who would give land as inheritance to them. So they were to receive land as an inheritance. And so we see that they were liberated from Egypt and plan to go to the promised land. So Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. But Pharaoh asked, who demanded this? And Moses said it was Jehovah God. And Pharaoh replied, who is Jehovah? That's what Pharaoh probably said. Who is Jehovah that I should let these people go? Who is Jehovah that I should let my people go? And for this blasphemy, however, they had to pay the price of so Egypt was destroyed and the Israelites were liberated. The name they came to receive was that they were the nation of Jehovah. They were the nation called by the name Jehovah. So in the Bible it says the nation called by the name of the Lord. So it's the nation called by the Lord Jehovah. The fact that they are called means they have a relationship with him. But it does not mean they have received the inheritance yet. So we have to know this difference. So the moment they were called out by his name, wars began and all the nations of the world came to fear the name of Jehovah, as it's described in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 10. So the Israelites were given commandments and given a fearful commandment, saying to not use the Lord's name in vain, because those who blaspheme his name would not be forgiven, that they would be not be without sin. So if there was anyone who cursed the name of Jehovah, they were to be put to death. And those who did not fear the name of Jehovah, they would not be able to escape punishment and destruction. So they were a people called by his name. So God is the Lord of creation, and the fact they were called his nation was very honorable. But they also felt very burdened, for they worried about blaspheming his name and being punished, being cursed. That if they disobeyed the command, then curses and hardships fell on them. And so we see how many fell dead in the desert. So the Israelites, they left Egypt, they crossed the sea and wound up in the desert. But because they disobeyed his command, they were all struck dead there. However, history went on, and there was a man named David whom the Lord truly loved. And the reason he is called the one after the Lord's own heart is because of the love and reverence he had for the Lord, which was evidenced since his youth. So during the wars with the Philistines, he was only a young boy who knew nothing of war, but he was called by his father to run errands. And when he visited his brothers in obedience to his father, he heard the Philistine giant blaspheming the name of the Lord. So he went out to fight against him, and with one stone and a sling, he slew him and won the battles against the Philistines. So he conquered them and became and had many victories and became the king of Israel. And we see that their nation expanded. Later, David wanted to build the temple for God, but God did not allow him to be, but he permitted his son to build his temple. So the temple is to build the house that would contain the name of Jehovah, where the name of Jehovah would dwell. That God did not choose any other nation to place his name, but he chose the nation of Israel to keep his name, and wanted his name, Jehovah, to be placed there for eternity. So God allowed them to build the temple to place his name for eternity, and in that very place they would worship and give sacrifice, and with holiness they will lift up his name. So when we think of the temple of Jerusalem, what should we think of? The name of Jehovah. So the temple of Jerusalem was a place where the name of Jehovah would be for eternity. And with such belief and faith, and with holding on to that promise, they built the temple. But after they built the temple, they corrupted the temple of Jerusalem. So during the time of Solomon, Solomon built the temple, but he accepted many daughters of other nations as his brides. And with them came their gods from other nations. And they placed those gods and idols in the temple of Jerusalem and completely corrupted the temple, the place that had the name of God. So Solomon built that temple. So Solomon did very well in building the temple that would keep the name of Jehovah, but he defiled it. But because God acknowledged the righteousness of Solomon for building the temple, he allowed him to live and die peacefully. But afterwards, we see that there were continuous wars, and we see the destruction of Israel. And after that, they faced destruction and were taken as captives. And so we don't really have a lot of interest in what they did, but the Bible tells us exactly in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 21. I had concern for my holy name, which the people of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, it is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. So it says, I, the Lord, declares. So the Israelites were like refugees, basically, and taken as captives to other nations, and in order to survive, they had to trade and live with them. But they were the nation called and chosen by God, and they received the commandment from God. So they were chosen as a people to not corrupt the name of God. As they lived forgetting the commandment they received and forgetting the Lord who called them, the Lord said, you have profaned my name. And he said, for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone, I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. He said, I will show the holiness of my great name that you have profaned. The temple and the holy name of Jehovah, it was, but even when they lived encamped by the temple, they still did not revere his name as holy. Because we see that in the temple, they would sell things and made it a marketplace. But we see that Jesus came in and he overturned the tables, and he asked why they turned his father's house into a marketplace. So the Israelites were corrupting the name of Jehovah, and when taken as captives, they lived even more corrupted lives. But when time came, Jesus appeared before the temple and said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So this temple, it contained the name of Jehovah. The name of Jehovah is the name of God. It is the eternal name to be remembered from generation to generation. But Jesus said to destroy the temple. The fact he said this, it was the greatest blasphemy against the Lord and temple. But the reason Jesus said this was he said to destroy this temple and he would raise it again in 3 days. Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. The temple to be destroyed had the name of Jehovah, but the temple that he'd raise again, they would know that when he raised it again, they would know the name they profaned and that he will make. So he was saying, the name you have profaned, saying you were serving me, I'll make it holy, and it's not for you, but myself, for my sake. For the name of God is holy. God has most interest in his name, for his name and God are equal. So the name of God is holy, and if his name and God are equal, then when they profaned his name, they profaned him. And he said, the name you have profaned, no one can make it holy again, so he himself will do it. who is there that can make it holy? So he said he would show the holiness of his great name. So they profaned his name in the temple, and even outside the temple in other nations, they profaned his name. But it says here that he would show the holiness of his great name, and he would do it himself, that he would sanctify this name. And when you receive that name, you will receive a new name, a new name. In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. So it says the nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. So the God of glory will be called by a new name. The one who will come as king, the Messiah, the Christ, will be called by a new name. In the past, they knew the name of God as Jehovah. But now, when Jesus Christ said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days," he would not cleanse the name of Jehovah that they profaned. It's not like he cleansed and dry cleaned it to make it new, but he would reveal a new name, and that is Yeshua. Yeshua. So we said before that the name of Jehovah is what? It is the name to be remembered from generation to generation, meaning someday it will end when the generation ends. But the new name that is eternal is Yeshua. When we say the new earth and new heavens, there's meaning of eternity in the word new. When it says new name, it is an eternal name, and he would reveal himself to them. Israel, by knowing the name Jehovah, if they didn't blaspheme his name and kept it holy, then they'd receive the promised land as inheritance. But after Jesus died and resurrected, after his death and resurrection, the name that he will show them is the name Yeshua, the new name. And those who have his name, the soul that has the name Yeshua, the soul that has the new name, to them, the promise he'd give was not an inheritance of land, but it was a promise of inheriting the name of Yeshua. So we read before that he has received the name that is above all angels, the name Yeshua is more superior, is more excellent. And the name he gives us as inheritance is the name Yeshua. So Yeshua is his name, and also the inheritance that he received is the name Yeshua. So the inheritance that God gives to believers is like how God promised to give the promised land to the Israelites. And the inheritance that God promises to give to those who believe in his name as the new heaven and new earth. So he has given the name Yeshua as inheritance. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4, it says, "So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." It's more excellent name. So Jesus Christ has inherited the name that is superior to angels, and that is the beautiful name, the name Yeshua. When Jesus was born, he was given the name Jesus. Though he was born with the name Jesus, in order for that to become his eternal inheritance, he had to die for that name. So the name Yeshua, whose name is it? It is the name of God, the name of the Father. In John chapter 5, verse 43, it says, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. So if Jesus came in another's name, when they saw his works, they might have accepted him. But Jesus said, my Father's name, that he has come in my Father's name, and so they rejected him. However, to those who received his name and those who believed his name, he's given the right to become children of God. So those who believe in Jesus, believe it is the name of God, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. That is when you baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is Yeshua. So there are some who baptize in the name of the Father and the name of the Son. But in Matthew chapter 28:19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, it says, when you baptize, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is the name of Yeshua. So the Son, before creation, the name that was before creation, the name of the Father, when Jesus was born, he was born with that name. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And who's that God? He is the God with the holy name. The holy name. But the Word became flesh. God became flesh. And when he came, what did he say? He came with the name of Jesus, the name of the Father, Yeshua. So in the name of the Father, he came. And in the name of the Father, he was born. But in the Old Testament, God revealed himself as Jehovah. And there's no name of Jesus. And why is that? Because his name, in order for it not to be profaned by anyone in any way whatsoever, that is why Jesus came later in this name. Do you understand? And he said, I'm not doing this for your sake, but my sake, as we read in Ezekiel chapter 36. So in Ezekiel, we read that he comes in the new name, and it's not like he washed the old name that they profaned, but he came with the new name, and it is a name that is eternal, the name of God, the name of the Father, the name he had from before creation. And that name, he came in the name Yeshua. And that name, the surname, I said, is passed down from generation to generation. And like the name that is passed from generation to generation, the name Yeshua is a name he inherited from the Father. So Jesus came to do his public ministry. And what he revealed is that his name and the Father's name are one. And when he prayed, Jesus said, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. So that they may be one as we are one. And he said that those who believe in him, the disciples, just as he said for them to remain, so they may be one as we are one. So let us be united as one, just as I am in you by your name. So they were to be one by his name. This was God's schedule to make his disciples united with him by his name. So with his name, they went out to cast out demons, and the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. But what did Jesus say? He told them to go out. He said, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. and rejoice, just as I and the Father have become united by the Father's name. However, there were not many who understood, and the thousands who followed after Jesus eventually fell away and left. And when they asked, "How shall we pray?" he said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven." Our Father in heaven. So the one who receives our prayers is the one in heaven, our Father in heaven. And what is the first line of the Lord's? And then after that is, "Hallowed be thy name." Whose name is this? It's the name Yeshua, the name of the Father, of the Son. The name Yeshua, let it be hallowed. It's to be revered and hallowed. And that is the goal of our prayers, the purpose of our prayers, which is for the name of Yeshua to be revered as holy. To be holy means it is different from all other names. So other names, we're not referring to the names of kings or of a people, but what is the name that has the highest name in the Old Testament? It was the name of Jehovah. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, that he has inherited the name that is superior to angels, a more excellent name. So the name Jehovah was delivered through an angel and given to Moses. It was the name delivered by angels, but it's no longer the name given by angel, but the name that the Son himself came, the name of the Father, that this name to be hallowed, and that ought to be the goal of our prayers and faith life. So the things Jesus said, the Israelites regarded him as deserving of death, however. And on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." The name that the people profane, the Son has made holy, and for that name he died. By dying according to the command, he will lift up the Father's name by obeying his command. Hallelujah. So through his death, he lifted up the Father's name. And the name that was profaned by people and angels and of creation, the Son has made it holy and has given glory to the Father. And the one who has profaned it, the devil was condemned. And to mankind, God said, "I'm not doing it for you, but for my sake, for himself." In order to keep his name as holy and to lift it up as holy, that is God's will and that is his goal. And for mankind who did not know this and sinned. And so Jesus became the atoning sacrifice and died in the place of us and has given us his blood, the blood of Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So those who receive him, those who believe that he is a savior, who receive his name has received his blood. So those who receive his blood, to receive his blood not into the flesh, but the spirit, those who receive his blood into their spirit, that is where he puts the name of Yeshua. So the blood of Jesus he shed when he died. So there was no news of where his blood went after he shed it. But the name of Jesus, it is still declared to this day. The name of Jesus, Yeshua, is the name of God. So the children of God is an offspring, a seed of God. So when we talk about descendants, offspring of the Lee clan, when you trace back, they looked at the surnames and where they're descended from. They look at bloodlines by this name. So when you are born, you received your parents' blood and also the name. So those who receive the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, the soul that has the blood, his blood, that name is inherited to that soul. And if that soul has the name of Jesus, that name does not leave them for eternity. Amen. The name that will not be profaned ever again, that name has been given to the place that can never be profaned ever again, which is into the Spirit. Amen. So say amen if you have the blood of Jesus. So I have spoken of the name of Jesus again and again, but the main point of what I'm saying today, so say amen if you have the name of Jesus in your spirit. So into our spirit, the reason why he puts his name into our spirits is because the spirit that has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, is so his name won't be profaned or taken again to have that name be destroyed and made lower. So to the spirit that Jesus has made holy by his blood, into that spirit God places his name, which is given as an inheritance, so that it cannot be profaned ever again. So Jesus died and resurrected and ascended to heaven and is called the Lamb who sits on the throne. On his body he bears the marks of being pierced, and from him his blood flows, and the Holy Spirit with this blood comes down with the name of Jesus and continues to witness to this day. And believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So those who have received his name, those who receive his name will become children of God. Amen. That they will be saved and become children of God. So the Holy Spirit to this day, to the soul that has the name and the blood of Yeshua. So the soul that has the name of Yeshua. So when someone asks, what is your name? You may say Jolun, or you may say Yumi. That's the name of your flesh. But what is the name of your soul? The name of your spirit is Yeshua. So people may say, wow, you guys are a cult. There are so many Yeshuas here. But this is what God has desired, to the point where he sent his son and allowed him to be pierced and shed blood. By sprinkling his blood into the spirits, both his blood and name are given into the spirit. And to those who receive his name, you not only become a living spirit, but what becomes the name of your spirit, the name of your soul, is Yeshua. So Jesus Christ will return again. And when he does, while on this earth, the people from all kinds of nations and religions, when Jesus returns, only those who partake in the first resurrection will be called up into the air. And when we see in Revelation chapter 21, it says, the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. That the kings of this earth will put on the crown and enter into the holy city. They will enter the new Jerusalem, enter the banquet in the air. So it says that the kings of this earth will bring their glory. That they will bring their glory and honor into it. So Jesus is the Christ. He is the King of Kings. So Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. But those who receive his blood and have his name, what do they become? They become kings. So say, I am a king. I am a king. So people might say, wow, you have become crazy. After you went to church a few times and now you say you're a king? You are poor in the flesh. Yes, your flesh may be poor. But my spirit has the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, the name of my spirit is Jesus. And by that name, when I leave this flesh, when the Lord returns, I will put on my crown and go before him. Amen. And it says that we will bring with us our glory and honor. And how great and how precious and how holy is his name. Only those who know this and reveres his name as holy will go before him on that day. That is why our faith life isn't easy. So say I am a Christian. In the past, I had the name of my flesh, and for the name of my flesh, for the honor of my name, in the flesh I lived. But now I live for the honor of the name of my spirit, my inheritance, which is the name Yeshua, and I live for the honor of that name. Amen? Is that true? So we give worship and we give praise. What are we doing? So people ask, why does this church sing praises so long? So those who have the name of Yeshua in their soul, the more you praise, the more joyful you become. Because our spirits are lifting up his name. And so we have to understand this correctly. So when we lift up his name, Yeshua, because his name is in our spirit, and because we're lifting up his name in our spirit, we become so joyful that we're praising his name. So we say, lift up his name, Jesus. And the more we do, we become happy and joyful and set farther apart from the world. If we feel like we're rising to the air, we feel like that as we have inherited the name, the most beautiful name, the most beautiful inheritance in our spirit. As that has become our inheritance, that and it's going well, and when we feel it, we come to life when we praise. Isn't that right? So when we praise, we should not become immersed in ourselves. So there have been people in the past who said to not use instruments like they do in the secular world, such as a guitar, because it could lead to promoting oneself. But promoting of oneself is by one's persona. But for us, when we become joyful to the point we want to jump in praise, it can't come from our the persona, but our spirit, not from our heart, but our spirit. So this praise we lift up ought not to be from the persona, but it must be from our spirits. So secondly, it's prayer. So why do we pray? John 14 says that when we pray, the Father and the Son receive glory. So we pray to glorify the Father, and it's for the glory of Jesus that we pray. So when we give him glory and seek things from God, we kneel before him. So when we pray, we first need to kneel before him and glorify his name. And in order to create a masterpiece that is worthy to glorify him, we pray. And it's not to pass time. We pray in order to glorify the name Yeshua, and in order to give him glory through the answer to our prayers. And in Mark chapter 16, it says that these are the signs that follow believers. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes and with their hands. So when you do such things, speaking in tongues, casting out demons, and the like, people regard as crazy and abnormal. But it's the wicked and corrupt generation that seeks signs. So you no longer have to seek signs and miracles, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Things that the people of this world see as strange, abnormal, spiritual things. There are people who think this is wrong. But there's Pastor Paul Washer, whom I truly respect his character. But as it says, Jesus commanded to cast out demons in his name, to speak in new tongues, but he denies these things, and it's very sad. So I pity him. So I think he's kind of in the middle of us and the Amish people. So Christians, if we have the name of Yeshua and know the glory of his name, then we ought to do all in his name, that we speak in new tongues and in his name drive out demons and pray and lay hands on the sick to be healed in his name. Hallelujah. So praying and receiving answers to prayers through these signs, we give glory to the name of Yeshua. And then we have our duties in the church. And in 2 Corinthians, it says the duties of the Spirit. It says, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? So the duties of the Spirit is honorable and glorious. Whether it is cleaning the bathroom or driving the vans, even if it may not seem like great work, each and every duty, it is given in the name of Jesus, so it is an honorable duty. So whatever duty you have, you carry it out with honor. For what? To glorify and reveal the glory of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And then fifth, it is proclaiming the name of Yeshua, testifying his name, and thereby revealing the glory of Jesus. So proclaiming his name is to proclaim the works he has done in his name, and also performing the same works he did. So bearing fruit, whatever we can to bear fruit and give glory to Jesus, is living for him. Hallelujah. So let all of us truly know the name of Yeshua. And if you have understood the relationship between I, the soul, and the name of Yeshua, if you understand, raise your hand. If you understand this relationship. So the Jews understood their relationship with God as the name of Jehovah and them. That it would be them and their descendants' relationship with God Jehovah. But we Christians know the relationship between my soul and the name of Yeshua, and giving glory to his name Yeshua. That is our faith life. Amen. So the day the Lord returns, we can put on our crowns and go before him. And there will be a feast in heaven, and it will be the wedding feast of the Lamb. In other words, it's the feast celebrating us who have the name of Jesus. Because only those who have the surname of Jesus, only they can enter into heaven, the Father's house. So we need to have that name, the surname of Jesus. The name is our inheritance, and the fact we know the name of our Spirit is Jesus, how great a blessing is that? Hallelujah. So we truly need to feel that. We realize where our position is. So whenever we praise or pray, it's for our spirit, and we need to do it with every bit of our passion and strength, therefore. Amen. Hallelujah.